podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Euro Incision podcast. The Reds have their pants pulled down by Real Madrid at Anfield, and myself and Guy Drinkle are going to inspect their backsides. Guys, welcome back.
I miss Femis.
Oh my gosh, we had to do this, right? We had to do this. I mean, we've had a couple of days away from it. You know, like, I think Tuesday games just makes the week feel really long. So we've had a couple of days away now. How are you feeling? I mean, let's just talk about the game. Let's just go straight into Liverpool. Let's go two-footed. Right, come on, let's talk about this. First of all, your thoughts now.
I'm feeling numb, to be honest, Nina. It's watching the game, it was just a sense of... It was a sense of dread before the game, and then obviously we have the good start, and just as soon as they scored the first one, it was just a sense of the inevitable, and it was... But we saw this. We were getting outplayed by 10 men Newcastle.
Yeah.
And Real Madrid rock up and have a bit of a dodgy start and then just do Real Madrid things. It was always going to happen. It was just, but the days afterwards, it's just the fact that we play again very late on a Saturday for some reason. I'm not looking forward to the game. I'm not even dreading the game. It's just more annoying me that I'll probably be working till like 1 a.m. on Saturday.
That's the main thing
that's annoying me. I'm not asked about the game because I can't be asked looking at them at the minute.
Yeah, you know what? I have like a strict eating regime, and I'm going to have to eat earlier just so I can focus on the game and make notes. The inconvenience that the Reds are putting me through at the moment, and especially when they're not very good as well. Like, I'm willing to bend things if you're good. But yeah, I mean, this Real Madrid game, I mean, Guy, let's talk about this, and we're going to go kind of, you know, we need to get things off our chest. So Klopp goes with the same lineup against Newcastle. Were you surprised at that? I wasn't surprised. I feel like I understand him to the point where now I know if he thinks something works, he's just going to run with it. And the subs earlier on in the Newcastle game kind of indicated that to me as well, with the likes of Henderson coming off and stuff.
No, I wasn't surprised. I was almost disappointed, but I wasn't surprised. I think Navigator's clearly back in the bad books, which seems to change every 3 weeks. So we have no options in midfield now. So we're stuck with them three, which is not good because our best one of them three is 12 years old. Attack's probably the one positive we can talk about, which we'll get into. Yeah. In the defence, it's a flip of a coin between Gomez and Matip. They're both awful.
It's so true. I mean, I want to get your thoughts on something because you kind of touched on something as well. And you said, you know, when, you know, Newcastle went down to 10 men, you know, the Reds did look shaky, and they did, you know, you're right. I'm kind of noticing a pattern, and it passed on into this game as well. I feel like the Reds already have 20 minutes of intensity in them. They had about 20 minutes against, if you look back to the Chelsea game, exactly, yeah, second half, they had about 20 minutes against Wolves. They were decent throughout Everton, but in all fairness, like you said, Everton were just absolutely shocking. That wasn't hard for the Reds to like turn down any gear. They had 20 minutes early bright start against Newcastle where they were cutthroat and got their goals, and the same happened here again. I mean, is this a concern now? Because not only when do we take the foot off the gas, it feels like we mentally switch off as well.
Yeah, I think it definitely, it is both mental and physical, I think. I think the midfield, you can see Henderson had looked probably the best he ever did in them first 20, not ever did, but in this season, maybe even last season, the best he's looked in a long while in first 20 minutes. And then he just couldn't make those extra yards. And it was just, well, yep, we're down to 10 men. Then Fabinho couldn't just not, just couldn't move. Then we're down to 9 men. Then Joe Gomez seemingly just has a mental breakdown. We're down to 8 men. It just seems to slowly decay in the team as the game goes on. Obviously, it's not always the start we have those 20 minutes, but I think you're bang on. I think we just don't have a half in our legs, never mind a full game. It's just really, really odd. And it obviously people have pinpointed, I know the UP lads have talked about, we've obviously screwed up pre-season. Now, I'm no sports scientist, but that was a long while ago, and we had a World Cup break where we had what, 4 or 6 weeks off to try and do right any of these wrongs. Obviously, not everyone was there, but good Lord, if we're still blaming pre-season, I mean, unless all of them come back looking the fittest they've ever seen next season, I don't. Unless they were shotgunning each other in pre-season, I don't know what the hell's happened. But no, I think you're right. There's 20 men's of legs in there, and the last few games, I think the attack has just carried the team. That's finally clicked, whereas the midfield's still trash and the defence made probably more of a result of the midfield being awful is the defence doesn't work anymore because they just get overexposed. Like,
Big gaps, right?
we are definitely going to be slagging off Joe Gomez in this podcast, but I think victim of circumstance isn't what I want to say, but I can't think of another term. He is just left exposed by our midfield. Now, Eboo would deal with it better, but Eboo is 6'5" and a machine. It's just a broken system, and I think individuals are kind of carrying the last. Well, the only two games recently that we've won. So yeah, it's a bloody worry. And then you see Real Madrid. I think Dave called them zombies, and they basically are. It doesn't matter what the score is. They're just always in the game. So yeah, it was just we. I hate Real Madrid. Like, not even for all the usual reasons anyone hates Real Madrid. It's just the fact they just never die. They're always there. They never have down year. Down year for them is second, and even then they usually win the Champions League. It's just an insane DNA in that club. I just hate it.
Their down season is finishing second and winning the Champions League by one goal margin or something. You know, like that is a disappointing season for them. I have to agree with you on the attack. Now, that is the positive, right? Because obviously there's a lot of fresh blood being injected into our attack, and at first it wasn't clicking and people had a lot of concerns, but my word, the ferociousness and the tenacity that those three delivered in the first 20 minutes, I thought Mo Salah just looked like himself. He was skinning Alaba everywhere, and he was running and finding passes, and all three of them were breaking together. We saw shades of it against Newcastle. We certainly saw it here, and I feel like there's like a click and cohesion, and to me, that's the part where things are looking right. And I went back to watch the extended highlights because I really wanted to get angry for this podcast, but clearly it's not working. I'm very calm because it's you, Guy Drinkle. You bring the best out of me, evidently. And you look at that, like how did they clear it off the line? And oh, if Mo Salah had only like squared it to, when he had a shot, and I think Gakpo was running in, like we could have done so much more to them as well. And they were on the back foot. The defense did not know how to cope with the pace of that attack and the movement. And Nunez's goal was just, oh, sensational.
Are you that person who has everything? The coolest merch and those must-have fan threads? Well, over at our Anfield Index shop, we've gone that extra mile when it comes to pimping up your Liverpool collection. From our popular range of bespoke design t-shirts, sweaters, hoodies and hats, to our signature edition mugs, prints and coasters, all provided with fast worldwide shipping. We have something for every red. We also stock official LFC merchandise and are licensed with the Premier League and UEFA to sell official iron-on shirt badges and sleeve patches. As a listener to this podcast, you can get 10% off everything with coupon code AIPRO10. Just head over to anfieldindex.shop or find us on Etsy by searching for Anfield Index.
No, it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. These things to love doing. I think, was it Fulham the first game he did it? It's just nice to see, because Gakpo's just a weird one, because he is the midfield money. That's how I think everyone sees it. It's like, you aren't a midfielder. But
do you think there's going to be a subconscious kind of bias towards him for that reason?
Maybe for this season. I think, hopefully, we buy midfielders. But knowing Jurgen Klopp and FSG, we may buy one midfielder. But I think this season, maybe I think as he improves, which he certainly is, it might just go away. But at the min, I think, well, maybe not even at the min, because he has improved. But I think the first few games, you're just thinking, you should be someone else. But
yeah, you couldn't justify it, could you? You couldn't justify what he was doing and what we needed.
No. But I see it now. And the fact that we played him as a nine and then put Nunes on the left, I think we're seeing that. Why? Because it takes Nunes' limitations in terms of hold up play and stuff like that out of the equation. Whereas Gakpo, I don't think it was great to begin with, but we're seeing it in bits and bobs. I think after his goal the other game, he just seemed to grow in confidence, and he's took that in other games as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I see the logic of it. And
carries the ball really well as well.
He really does. Yeah. He really does. And more importantly, we see what happens when we bring on Firmino and Jota at the minute. So he is very much a better option than them two. So, I'm starting to see the logic, but it's just kind of annoying. He wasn't a midfielder, but I'm sure he'll grow to be a very good player, and I think he's already showing signs of that. Whereas Nunes, I think Nunes and Salah were still starting to see it click a bit more. Like, obviously, both of them missed quite a lot of chances. I think they're both the big chances missed leaders at the minute in the Premier League. But I think there is a spark of magic there when the team hopefully gets fixed. Them two can really, really spark into life, and we see bits and bobs, and we saw that in the first 20 minutes in this game.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, we get the first goal, and then the second goal, it was an early Champions League goal as well, right? So you know, started getting a bit confident, didn't we? It was supporters. And then obviously the second one came, and you know, Courtois absolutely having a howler. And you're like thinking, could this be it? Could this be it? And you know, Salah just lapping it up. I mean, it was a comedy of errors for the goalkeeping howler, but you know, Salah just you know, again, you know, putting things right for himself as well, obviously, because he missed that final, you know, he got subbed off in Kiev, and you know, he had a point to prove. And obviously Thibaut Courtois had an absolute monster performance against our attack in the last Champions League final, and you know, it was just it felt really good, and then things went bad.
Yeah, it wasn't helpful, because I sent my mate a message saying, Alisson, best goalkeeper in the world, confirmed after that Courtois error.
Goalkeepers Union,
yeah.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, again, I saw someone tweet, actually, and it got retweeted on my timeline, but I was just so stressed out at this point. But you know what I noticed about this game? Okay, forget about the others. It was played at such an intense pace. Like, I was exhausted watching that first half. I mean, yeah, Vinny scores a stunning goal. He does, you have to call it. And then Alisson Becker has an absolute howler. Which we'll talk about both of them in a second. But for me, I was just sat there thinking, I am knackered. This is end to end. And, you know, like you just said, what Dave said, they are like zombies. Like, you know, they just got the momentum. You know, they could sniff danger. They knew that every chance. Like, they were just so, like, I can't describe them in Europe. Like you just said, they never die. Like,
just
they,
inevitable.
And you shouldn't get so comfortable against them. And, you know, like, a lesson learned. Trust me, I got humbled, absolutely. But, you know, for me, like, the second goal, like, obviously there's a lot of talk. And I want to get your thoughts. Because I saw a lot of people trying to blame Gomez for this. Now, to me, I thought Gomez played a pretty simple pass to Ali. Like, it wasn't a bad pass. I mean, don't get me wrong, you could argue that Gomez should have just done what, played it out for a throw-in or, whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, don't even give it to his keeper if he knows that, Vinny Jr., who is a pace machine, is right behind him. But that was, Ali had Robbo free on the left. No man near him. He could see him.
It was just too casual from Ali, and anyone blaming Gomez for that one is just dumb. That's just really dumb. Like, he's passed the ball back to the best keeper in the world. No one in the world except not, I don't even think Vinicius Junior was expecting him to do that. He just, he could have passed it to Robert. He could have just hoofed it earlier. He could have passed it out to the right for a throw-in. It's just a sickening thing. But I think there's the stories of the two goalkeeper errors, isn't there? Courtois had his team went up a level and fixed it for him. Ours did that. Obviously, they got the first goal beforehand, and it may have been turning already. But our keeper did that, and we just crumbled like a 20-year-old box of digestives. It was awful. We just, what was it, mentality monsters to mentality midgets. It basically summarized in this. Our goalkeeper, who has bailed us out this entire season from a relegation fight, has a mistake, and we do not respond at all. It's scary to watch what we've turned into. And it's not even that long ago, because basically all of the end of last season, we weren't playing well. We were just doing the
Dragging,
moments.
skin ourselves. Yep, I agree. I completely agree. And then obviously, and again, though, I do believe that that first half was still like I was knackered after that first half, guy. Like, I was physically and mentally exhausted. I was like, I can't deal with this much more. And of course, the second half started, and I feel like, physically we went out, but mentally we didn't, because we literally conceded as soon as we came out. I mean, stupid free kicks you concede by Gomez, and we'll talk about Joe Gomez because I thought he absolutely had an absolutely shocking display in defence. It kind of gave me similar shades of what happened to him at Napoli.
Yeah, just absolutely. Thing is, he seems to be the type that one mistake and his head goes. It just completely out. He's gone. Needs subbing off. And we'll get onto the subs in one of the myriad of horrendous things that happened. But Gomez, you could see in Gomez, his head was gone. Like, absolutely. I think it was gone at half time. Because that second half, he was not in that game whatsoever. But no, it's that the free kick. It's a stupid foul to give him. I initially thought he got the ball, but then he didn't. But I don't know who was marking who, but
I just can't
everyone's.
believe he had all that space to run across, grab a sandwich, grab a coffee, and just head
Have a
it in.
nap.
Yeah, and our defense had no idea. They were just practically sat on top of Alisson's lap.
It's just, I don't understand, because we used to be the best team in the world at set pieces. Nothing, that one of the issues is nothing's changed. How have we got this bad at set pieces? Like, other than maybe Bobby, who's more defensively minded than Darwin, nothing's changed. It's just, I don't understand. That is one of the worst defended set pieces I've ever seen. It was dreadful. Our lads just stood still, hoping they'd
It
screwed
felt
up.
non-league, I can't lie. It felt
It
non-league.
did. It did. Just whip it to the front post, and a runner will get onto it. And it did. It worked. We had no one trying to attack the ball. Not a single person. Like, Van Dijk's the best header of the ball in the world, or he was before I forgot how to play football. Matt, not Matt, it wasn't. Gomez is okay in the air. Darwin Núñez is 6'3". Gakpo's 6'4". We have massive people. Trent's big. Robbo's decent in the air. I just don't understand. There is no aggressiveness in that team at all. Excuse me. It's just, I don't know. it just seems like there's nothing, there's no communication, no leadership, no whatever in the team anymore. It just, obviously, we'll probably talk about Klopp at some point, but it's a set piece. We'll obviously have a set piece coach and all that jazz to set up. But Militao ran from the back post to the front post unopposed. No coach in the world is telling them to not do that. So they're just not doing it on their own accord. So I don't know what to say. It's just embarrassing. That was, out of all the dreadful goals, that's probably the most embarrassing one.
Yeah, it really was. It was absolutely shocking. I just watched that, and I just remember just looking at it, and there wasn't even an expression, guy. There was no emotion. I was just staring at the television screen, blank faced. Like, I just could not believe what I was watching. It was so embarrassing.
I
Just,
would have turned it off if I didn't have to do
I
this.
know, I know, I know. I felt the same. I was like, no. And then you know what? I had to go watch back the extended highlights, didn't I? Because you know. Say this and all that. But yeah, it was horrendous. And I guess we're going to talk about all the other goals that we kind of conceded. You know what kind of made me, I shouldn't say this, but I was obviously watching extended highlights, and my mum was in the kitchen, and she says to me, "So which goal are you on now?" And I wanted to laugh. You know, like, because obviously we conceded five, like, which one are you on? So United fans are a bit cocky and arrogant, and she's really looking forward to their trip to Anfield, which is bad in itself because normally she shits her pants. But here we are, people. This is what we've done. I mean, for me, again, the midfield, let's talk about this because there is a kid in there who's having to do so much work, and I can't be mad at him because, of course, you know, he was gonna. You know what got me angry about this? Like, okay, so he had a few turns, right? And you know, he turned into the Real Madrid midfield, you know, which worked really hard. You know, Camavinga, Valverde, Modric, who is an old man, was still doing things in that midfield.
It's weird
I, you know,
that.
hey,
It's weird that an old man can still do stuff in midfield.
yeah, and certainly against us. And now I'm like looking at my two senior midfielders there, right? And when you have a kid in, it is your job to walk him through that game. It's Real Madrid.
Yeah, and that's been the issue. It's been the young helping the old rather than the old helping the young in our team. Since Bacetic came in, he's been our best midfielder. I
Yeah.
think Thiago, when he was playing with Thiago and Naby, I think they were helping him more,
Yeah.
but the results were awful.
Yeah.
So you can't really look at that. But now, since the two older ones have came in, it literally, Bacetic is the only one able to run. I mentioned Henderson couldn't run after 20 minutes. Fabinho couldn't run after 1 minute. It's just wrong. The thing is, the issue is the two older ones as well.
Yeah.
If we're playing Palace on Saturday, I'm not dropping Bacetic. I want to drop the other two, but we just can't because we have no one else. It's just odd. I don't know what we have to do with it. Obviously, I mentioned Naby's in the bad books, but he has to come back in.
I'm thinking he played Bacetic and Fabinho as the two more holding and let Keita have a bit more of a free eight role to run the channel. I don't know.
Thing is, Palace have a really strong midfield
Yeah,
with
they do.
exciting
I know.
forwards as well. So,
I know. This is it. What does he
yeah.
do? But yeah.
Curtis Jones doesn't exist anymore, seemingly.
Oh, again. Well, you know, it's funny you say that because the front three for Crystal Palace last season, maybe confidence was high, was Roberto Firmino, Jota, and Oxlade-Chamberlain, and I think the midfield was Jones, Fabinho, and Henderson.
God, remember when we could win with any team we put
Yeah,
out
and
names?
we won 3-1, and I think it was Matip and Go and Virgil van Dijk in as a centre back pairing, and Robbo and Trent and Ali. That was the team.
If we play that team at the weekend, we'll lose 5-0. Oh
I
my God.
looked at the starting lineup against Crystal Palace at their ground. And I was like, no way. And I looked at the result and I was like, no way. You know, like, we can't even get that with our best.
Oh God.
I
Ah,
mean,
screw it, screw it. Just play that team and see what happens.
let's see what happens. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Oh, God.
That midfield was horrendous. But you know what I found absolutely astounding was the fact that our front men had pace, right? And at that point, it was 3-2. And whatever, whatever. And and then we conceded another goal, Karim Benzema. And again, that was really embarrassing as well because Joe Gomez that played them onside, and then it was Joe Gomez who got deflected upon. And I know Benzema got the goal, but it was just again like what the fuck? It was just like everything was going horribly wrong for the Reds.
Just not literally, we couldn't string passes together like at all. This was what time? What minute was their fourth goal? Their fourth goal was on the 55th minute. That was 5 minutes before after we should have made subs. As soon as the third goal went in, we should have reacted because midfield was done. Joe Gomez was done.
And talking of which, then let's talk about these subs, right? So Klopp's going to make subs. I'm not being funny, right? My hope was with the attack. It was. I thought, well, at least they can take the ball and they can run. And I saw people like Mo Salah sort of operating from deep. Do you know what I mean? Because that midfield was absolutely doing nothing. There was no service. I actually thought Trent had a good game, I'm going to say it. I thought Trent did all right.
I think he was relatively good because
Yeah, considering.
Vinicius Junior, I think he got, what was it, two goals and an assist, I think he got, didn't he?
Yeah.
I don't think any of them were Trent's fault. I think
No,
1v1 Trent did not.
nobody helped him double. And this is another thing as well. Why don't you use your brain? Why don't you double up with him?
Well, that's another midfield
No, I mean
topic.
they did that to Diaz in the final. They just spent their entire time just doubling until he got tired.
Thing
Until
is,
he got.
I don't get what we do tactically. Like, all our attacking players are on the right. We've got Trent, who obviously not the best defensively, but his job is to
His
attack.
one-on-one marking hasn't been too bad,
But I think he can defend, but it's just not his main job, is it? His job is to create for us. Salah doesn't. Salah's t Salah can come back and help, but he's told not to. He's clear because he does do it at times. He's told not to. And then Henderson, obviously, he's been told this. His job is to go forward as well. I don't. There's no balance on our right-hand side. Like, our best team was when Henderson. Obviously, Henderson was a bit more attacking than Ginny back then. But he was still probably more of a defensive player than an attacking player. Now it's just Henderson bomb on. Press the centre back, press the goalkeeper. It's like, what is Klopp doing? Who's decided to just vacate the right hand side? It's just stupid. I don't understand it. I really don't understand. It worked last season, but I think it goes under the radar how good Trent was last season. Whereas this season, Trent's obviously struggled quite a bit, but he's not get. You mentioned that he doesn't get help, not at all. We've left him to be 1v1 with Mitoma, who monsters him. Vinny Jr., he battled quite well with. Who else has been a nightmare this season against us? And everyone, but
Did
just
he who had Kvaratskhelia?
Napoli. That's
Yeah,
it.
Again, he was a nightmare.
I'm just glad we don't have to play Napoli
I
again.
know, I know, I know.
Oh,
But
God.
okay, so at this moment, guy,
Yeah,
it's
sorry.
4-2, right? Klopp makes some subs, which he should have made at 3-2, right? We can agree on that. And if there was any hope, it was from the attack because they were in, like, if they were going to turn on the intensity, it was those guys, right? Because they've got pace, it was going to come from them. Klopp decides to take off.
Hello, I'm here to annoy you. I'm here to annoy you into listening to more of me and more of others on EPL Index. We don't just have the Anfield Index stuff. We've got EPL Index as well, which covers the entirety of the Premier League. And we have three podcasts and a whole bunch of really good writing on EPLindex.com. The podcasts are my own two-footed podcast, which is every day at 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, covering the whole league. We have A Tad Predictable, hosted by Tadiwa. You know Tadiwa, he does Anfield Index. He presents A Tad Predictable before every Premier League match week. And then Kevin De Vries and his crew on the EPL Roundtable, they're every week after the Premier League match week. So make sure you listen to everything we're doing on EPL Index and follow us there on Twitter at EPL Index. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Gakpo and Nunes. I'm sat there thinking,
yeah,
why? One, maybe. I'll give you one. Because I'm generous.
Yeah.
But two? Pissed off.
I understand Bobby coming on.
Yeah.
Because he'll help the midfield more than Gakpo.
Yes.
But Darwin and Moore hadn't really caused an issue since our good spell. But that's because we stopped passing the ball to them.
Yeah.
It's not because they were awful. We just didn't pass the ball to our forward players. So bringing on Bobby, we should have brought on Bobby and Naby at that time.
Yeah.
Or Bobby and Jones, if everyone hates Naby Keita. It should have been a midfielder and an attacker and Joe Gomez. It should have been Matip on for Gomez. That should have been the three subs at that time.
Yeah.
Or earlier than this time, I should say. Because Bobby could help the midfield and he could try and help press Camavinga, who was monstering us. Naby could just be competent. Like, all we needed was a 6 out of 10 midfielder and it would have helped. And that's what Naby Keita does usually. It's a 6 or a 7 out of 10 unless he has one of his really bad games. But it's to bring on Jota and Bobby, and let's be honest, the Newcastle performances both of them put in almost made me feel like I didn't want them in this squad for this game because they're not fit.
Mm.
To bring them both on again at the same time, it screamed of someone almost playing FIFA, like, oh, we can't score goals, bring on more forwards. It's like, did maybe Klopp's head went or something like that, but there was just no logic in both of them coming on.
I agree. I mean, like you said, Nunes would have ran the channels, right? And you keep him on, yeah, because, you know, he might take the ball from deep and run with it and run and be in like, in a running race with Mo Salah to get up that pitch.
Yeah.
Jota's not going to do that. You know, he likes the ball to his feet, and, you know, sometimes he's a fox in the box. But if you're not getting the ball in the box, what's he going to do? How many, Roberto Firmino, like you said, he would help out in the midfield, and we know he can do that, and that would make sense, you know. But then he would have made sense if you want to take Gakpo off, because he does pull strings for the attack. He works in close proximity with them.
Mm-hmm.
It was just madness for me. I'm not even going to lie. Like, I just sat there and I was just like, I didn't know what to say about this. I think maybe I was less angry because, I mean, I'm angry, but maybe it was because it was like frigging 4-2 at this point, and I was like, clearly, we are so behind. Like, this is done.
You could sub on the 2018 version of these players and we still lose.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as we said, the sub should have been earlier, so we wouldn't have been in that situation. Because at 3-2, obviously it's horrendous we give up a 2-0 lead, but if we keep it at 3-2 or get it back to dream of a 3-3, but the fact 5 goals unanswered is just unacceptable. It really is. And I've seen people on Twitter say, if this was any other manager other than Jurgen Klopp, this is a sackable moment. And that is very true. I'm not saying I want Klopp sacked by any means, but if this happens, say, next season in the Europa League, because we're not getting the Champions League but if this happens at all next season, you have to start answering questions, because 5 goals, I don't care how bad we are and I don't care how good the other team is. We can't give up 5 goals unanswered and then make the situation worse with substitutions.
You know what?
Unacceptable.
You know what got me as well? Like, there was just nothing about us. It was just a toothless, like, outing. And, you know, like, you're meant to be this amazing team. You know,
Barini and Cole will give more fight back in 2014 or 15.
Yeah. And I just sat there and I was like, look at you, man. You're not even asked. And I think that's the most hurtful thing, you know. You don't even look bothered. Like,
yeah,
there used to be a time when you used to like chest bump each other because you kept a clean sheet. Remember Virgil van Dijk used to do that with his defence?
Bad. I know we kept two clean sheets in a row, but it feels like a rarity. Maybe they just forgot.
Do you know what I mean? But it was celebrated like a goal, right, amongst the defence. You know, it was a big thing. And like, you look at them now and they're just like looking at each other, looking confused, looking bemused, looking like they don't even know what's going on around them. And it's horrible. And you're right about Jurgen Klopp. It is awful. And, you know, you're a big, you know, you are a big supporter of Jurgen Klopp, as you know, I am too. And if it was any other manager, I would be absolutely seething. I think it's because it is Jurgen Klopp and where he's taken the club. However, like, everyone needs to adapt and change. And I'm getting really, really pissed off, like, at the fact that he just seems to think that he doesn't need reinforcements in the midfield, or he feels that these players are okay. What is he watching? What does he watch?
Thing is, he sees them more than anyone as well. And that's the thing. Maybe they're just monstrous in training or whatever, but we're watching it every weekend or middle of the week. And I mean, it's easier to say who's been not even good this, who's been acceptable this season. Alisson's been very good.
Yep. I'm going to say Trent after the World Cup has been quite good, you know. I'm going to say it.
Acceptable, let's say, with Trent.
Okay. That's been really generous.
Because he was really bad. He was really bad before the World Cup. Konate, yeah, definitely. Van Dijk's been awful by his standards, let's be honest.
Elliot started off the season well, but then we really obviously can't defend or are overused as well. That was a mental as well, by the way. Sorry, I'm just... This is what I mean. We're just sharing feelings today.
Thiago, I'd say.
Yeah, Thiago.
I think more by sheer numbers has been acceptable, but performance-wise, no. But I'd give him a pass because the team fails and he doesn't get the ball anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to say Moore is looking better now. Now he's getting the pass. Before he was. Now he is.
I'd throw Darwin in there as well because he's exciting, but he just sometimes can't score. And that's about it, unless I'm forgetting someone. Naby's been fine, but he's played about three games. Bacicic, definitely. Keller has played about one game. Robbo, no. Simicast, no.
You've got about five players there.
Yeah. We've got a five-a-side team, Nina.
And those players are really interchangeable because some of them fell off with injury and stuff, obviously like Konate and things and Thiago. Yeah. So it's not been a consistent thing. I know people are talking about, you know, like, you know, Thiago would have been a huge factor in this game, of course. Konate would have, of course. Luis Diaz, of course. But I'm not being funny. Every team has injuries. I'm not having that.
The thing is, no one apart from Diaz, no one's surprised at the players who were injured as well.
Yeah.
We've not planned for it at all. Like, Matip and Gomez covering Ebu just won't work because Joe Gomez is either really good or awful. No middle ground. Matip has just been awful this season. Like, I don't remember a good Matip's most important thing this season has been his passing and going forward, but defensively he's been awful.
They're probably coming for Palace, though, you know.
Well, yeah, Nat Phillips, flip of a coin, that's the situation we're in. Will pick Matip, but I really wouldn't. If he picked Nat Phillips, I would not blink an eye. Not blink an eye at all. But no, Matip will be back at the weekend. He has to be because Gomez has to be taken out the firing line. I just... This game, it's almost defeating me because the two games previous, they were awful performances. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But it just, this just drained me.
You know what I find baffling? Obviously, you spoke about Konate there and Thiago saying it's not like we didn't know these players were going to get injured. And I just had like a weird thought to myself. Now, everyone has their own little thing, and I'm going to throw a really girly analogy out there for our female listeners or anyone that can relate. And, you know, say you have a favourite beauty product, yeah? And it's running low. You buy another as a backup. Like, you have it there. So when it runs out, it's there. How can Jurgen Klopp not look at midfielders like this? Like, I've got an injured player here. I might need something just as good.
The thing is, last season, or the second half of last season, when we just became zombies like Real Madrid, only worked because we played four midfielders. Naby had an unprecedented level of fitness. So did Thiago. Fabinho stepped up at times. I think towards the end, he kind of was a bit dead. And Henderson was a relatively good form as well. But two of those players had an unprecedented level of fitness. So did Henderson and Fabinho, to be honest, because they pick up injuries as well. So it took an unprecedented level of fitness from four players in midfield and an unprecedented level of performance from a few of them as well to be an acceptable team. Because when we were playing people like Curtis Jones, James Milner, Elliot as well, we were dropping points. And then we didn't address that position. Naby's injured for the first half of the season. Thiago has to play every game, so he picks up injuries. Henderson's dead, and so is Fabinho. And then we can't play Elliot. We can't play Elliot in midfield with the midfielders we have. We probably could if Fabinho was, like, alive. But it only worked last season because we had four quality, or three and a half quality midfielders. I'm not a fan of Henderson at the minute. Yeah. It was just criminal not to address that position in two windows. We mentioned the Gakpo thing, but if we only had the money for Gakpo, which makes it a weird decision, as we mentioned, but we had two chances and we screwed it up. Obviously, I'm not forgetting that Arteta exists, even though I think most people have. But to go from a panic situation where Klopp said it was his fault that they didn't get a midfielder, panic by Arteta, who was unfit for about 3 years.
And he was only bought because Henderson got injured, because before that he was acting like a complete arrogant individual in those press conferences saying, I don't need a midfielder. And it was only when Henderson picked up a knock, he panicked, bought in on loan Arteta Melo.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. That is the thing. We've seen this in the past. As a club, whether it's Klopp, FSG, the sporting directors who have all disappeared, we saw similar in the centre-back season 2021.
Yeah.
We don't react to situations at all. We panic buy. We get Ben Davies. We get Ozan Kabak. We get Arteta Melo. It's unacceptable. It really is for the... I'm doing air quotes for the sake of people who can't see me, which I hope is many of you. we can't, for the best run team in the world, unless it's a perfect situation, we do not react, because we thought we had Tchouaméni wrapped up. He went to Real Madrid when we had no backup plan. We seemingly wanted Ibu Konate. We could have won that. We should have won that league that season if we just went and bought a centre-back. And we didn't. And then we finished third or fourth, whatever it was. So as a club, we need with this whole rejig of getting a new sporting director, new physios, new stats people, is learning that football is not a vacuum. Sometimes you need to react. And to be fair, I'm maybe doing a disservice, because sometimes our plan B has worked better, which maybe it's a bit more well thought out because it wasn't the end of a window or whatever. But I mean, if we had Götze over Mane, if we had Brand over Salah.
Yeah.
It just, what's happened to that? What's happened to these lads who can go to plan B, go to plan C, go to plan D and just make it perfect? It's not happened anymore, because Ibu was plan one of one. Diaz was seemingly plan one of one.
Mm.
Who else have we got? Gakpo just seemed to exist.
they always wanted Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah, he was one. He was literally one of one, because we basically waited 4 months for him. Yeah. It's just, and Alisson was odd because we were getting Fekir, then we got him, which is a bit strange. But he was one of one, clearly. So it's just, it's a bit odd how we just can't react in imperfect situations anymore.
Whilst I've got you here, because you and I don't podcast much together, I want to get your thoughts on FSG, right? Because I saw loads of tweets like, this will force the Red, FSG to invest big in the summer. Well, you're going to fucking have to. I'm not being funny. Like, I have been a big supporter of FSG, and anyone that hears me on this podcast will know this. I've always said, you know what, they've been running the club well, but you know, now I'm getting a bit pissed off with them, and I can't lie. I don't know what Jurgen Klopp says in the press conferences. I sometimes think that he says things because he's trying to cover them up in terms of how much money he's allowed or what he wants. And sometimes I watch his press conferences and I'm like, blink twice, Jurgen, if you need help. Literally, I don't know what's going on with them. They need to invest. I don't think this sustainable model helps them. If you're going to stay around and you want investors, then fucking put the money up. I've had enough of you being stingy, and they are stingy. I'm just going to say it. How are you going to compete with Saudi, flipping Newcastle's money, flipping Man City's? Newcastle just can get better and better, you know. They probably have the most money. They probably got the wealthiest owners.
They have more money than every owner in the league combined.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and you're sat there thinking, oh no, we're just going to run the players into the ground, or we're going to do it like this and we're going to do it like that. I know you're smart people, and I know you run sports franchises. I'm not taking that away from you, but fucking pull your money out now. And I'm not being funny, it's a joke. And, you know, I heard somewhere that the Qataris pulled out because they wanted 2 billion off them. This is what I read on Twitter, by the way. I don't know how true this is. But they wanted 2 billion off the Qataris, but they weren't willing to give them a majority, like a big stake in the club. Yeah, because anyone's really going to buy that FSG. Fucking hell. Like, what the fuck are you on?
It's the most relevant topic going, especially with John Henry coming out and saying it's not for sale anymore. Yeah, that Qatari thing, whether it was bullshit or not, but if it is true, the 2 billion for, I think it was like 40%. So basically you want someone to come and give you 2 billion, not for FSG, for investment in Liverpool. Whereas Redbird paid 500 million, I'm not sure what the percentage of 500 million for part of FSG, which is multiple sports teams. Mm. So you wanted 2 billion for 40% of Liverpool, I think it was.
Yeah.
And then you want them to bankroll the next generation of team because you're not willing to.
But, and then they don't get a say in big decisions.
Exactly. If that is true, they're trying to take people's pants down. You are right. I think I was never really a fan, or I was never really FSG, just to Twitterism. I was never FSG in or FSG out.
No, so that's what I mean by that. I mean, was happy with the fact that they bought Jurgen Klopp you know, things like that. But now my patience is running thin with them.
Yeah. I was always kind of just a neutral with them. I was fine with them. I saw what they were doing. And when we were really well run with Edwards and that, I think we had an advantage and it worked that way. Whereas I think now, post Champions League win, because I think it did start that summer after when we didn't buy anyone. I know we won the league and pissed it away and pissed through everyone, etc. But I think you've always got to keep the motion going, the improvement going. So I think taking a year off has kind of put us a year behind in the long term, obviously not the short term back then. I've just always been at a point, they're okay. But after the Champions League final, I think we've outgrown them as owners. I just think we've steadily outgrown them. We can't. When you're trying to get to the top and finishing fourth is acceptable, this sustainable model works. Because you can have an off year, but you've got a big asset to sell. But now that we've been were at the top, and we're at the top for a few years by injuries ruining our season, but we were still the second best team in the league. It just doesn't work because you can't sell it to fans. Okay, we're going to sell more Salah. You what? We're going to sell more Salah.
This is how we operate, though. We have to sell a big player to buy, and that's disgusting because you're losing a part of something to gain more. I don't want to do that. I want Mo Salah to play with the best.
Well, that's the thing. I think when Mo signed his contract, there was such an... People like our age, Nina, we've always seen, apart from Steven Gerrard, the world-class players leave. Torres, Suarez, Mascherano, Xabi. They've all left for bigger fish. Mo's the first one.
Suarez.
The first one. He's the first foreign one who's not homegrown, I should say, not foreign. The first homegrown, not scouser one who stayed.
Mm-hmm.
His end goal is Liverpool. And now that FSG is staying, I'm terrified we might sell Mo Salah to try and fund fixing the midfield, fixing the defence, because we've got 50 attackers. Mo Salah's our last saleable asset, apart from Alisson, who is the most important player in our team, and Van Dijk, who, excuse me, we can't really sell Van Dijk, because if he goes back to being Van Dijk, he's irreplaceable. I think Mo Salah's irreplaceable, because there's no left-footed right forwards who can do what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And what would we get for Mo? 80 million? I mean, he's 30, 31 now.
Yeah.
80 mil doesn't go far.
No, like, it doesn't. Not in today's game. Not in today's game.
What are we going to do? Sell Mo Salah and say we bought Mudrick, who's been shit apart from playing against James Milner? That's what 80 mil gets you. Our plan is to spend 120 odd mil on Jude Bellingham. And yeah, cool. What about the four other players?
And not even that, like, okay, right, you're going to spend all that money. Like you said, we need more players. You're Jude Bellingham, and you watch that. I'm sat there thinking, I don't want to do a three-man's job. I'm good.
Well, that's the thing. You'd be sat there watching, I can't wait to play with Stefan Bacetic.
Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah, I'll go to, and I'll do my legs in early because I'm having to run for three men or two men or whatever the situation might be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, get real. Like, yeah, money is a motivator, but they also want to play with good players. Like, I would, if I was a professional footballer and I was pretty good at this game, I would want to play with the best players.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
Yeah, and the thing is, you see, Real Madrid's one of the options. Like, Valverde goes back to the right wing, he plays there, and then Modric,
disgustingly good, by the way.
Oh, he's a freak. He is a freak. If money was no question and we could, like, brainwash him to hate Real Madrid, like, any amount of money, like, we could give him a stake in Liverpool for free, and that'd be the bloke would take. Because he does not stop running. He's just a monster. But
what else have I heard about this, about Jurgen Klopp, that he's always ringing Bellingham and, like, getting reassurance or something? Why are you acting thirsty? Like, that, like, I'm sorry, like, that's cringe. Like, what are you doing? Did you hear that?
It wouldn't surprise me, but it's probably just the Daily Mirror or something.
It was some bullshit quote on Twitter, but I read that and I was just like, what are you doing?
The thing is, if that was the case, set up a deal for the summer, then we can stop having these questions.
Mm-hmm.
It's just go, Liverpool have announced we are buying Jude Bellingham for 100 million euros or whatever with add-ons, etc.
A bit like what Chelsea did on Cuckoo, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. I don't think I'm not even sure that's been formally announced, but everyone knows it's happening.
Jude
Bellingham, if we're talking to Jude Bellingham and Dortmund fancy tapping us up Southampton style, that's going to bugger us in the long term. Again, we can't be doing stuff like that. We have to get a deal in place with Dortmund if that is the case, but, like, announce it. if it is done, announce it. But I have massive doubts, because why would Jude Bellingham, we mentioned that, why would Jude Bellingham pick us over Real Madrid, who have the best young midfield in the world?
And he's probably going to win a Champions League like season in, season
every out. Second. Some of their every players second, yeah.
Have five Champions League flipping winners' medals. What the fuck? Sorry, like, yeah, what?
And the other options, obviously Chelsea, who will throw money at anything.
Yep.
Worse situation than us, probably, but they spend money. And him and Enzo Fernandez can be probably the next best young midfield as well. So that'd be exciting. Or Man City. I know they've got their financial thing going on, but it's not going to stop them, let's be honest.
No. Yep.
So like, you could go there, play with Foden, who you're probably mates with, or no, from the England squad, Jack Grealish.
If Newcastle make Champions League, I think they're going to start tapping up European players. Like, they're just going to go elite. He could potentially go there. Money's not an issue, though. He'll be on big wages.
And you get to play with Bruno Guimaraes, who's one of the best young midfielders as well.
Yeah.
It just, there's so many options. If Barcelona sort their finances out, Gavi, Pedri, Bellingham, it won't work, but you'd want to be a part of it for a little bit. Mm-hmm. So there's just other options to us. Like, if you're picking between Real Madrid and Liverpool this summer, and you pick Liverpool, I may have to question you a little
bit. I would agree. I think you're stupid. I think there's better options than those, and this is coming from a Liverpool supporter. I'm just going to be there with where we've gone. It's actually catastrophic what's happened. That guy, of course, we conceded the fifth goal, and at that point, I just completely was not interested at all. This game finished 5-2 to Real Madrid. Now, we had a 3-goal deficit against Barcelona at the Camp Nou. Okay, we had to take it home. That's fine. But I normally fancy us to get 3 goals, like, anywhere. I'm done with this one. I cannot see us. Like, you know, everyone's like, oh, they're the king of comebacks. I'm done. I can't see it. Just going to say it. Look at every other result in the Champions League. Right, let's run through these real, real quick, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
And this, and it made me laugh when I actually looked at results. Okay, PSG 0, Bayern 1, Milan 1, Tottenham 0, Bruges 0, Benfica 2, Dortmund 1, Chelsea 0, Liverpool 2, Real Madrid 5, Frankfurt 0, Napoli 2, Leipzig 1, Man City 1, Inter 1, Porto 0. They're all on a knife edge, pretty much.
Well, not all of them.
Yeah, except one's like, oh my God.
No, it seemed like a really, to be fair, after our game, the Wednesday games didn't exist in my house. I was like, nope, no football for me. No, they are all relatively tight, aren't they? I think if Napoli screw up from that position, you'd be really shocked, because Frankfurt got best player got sent off as well.
Did you watch the highlights?
I did 5 minutes before the podcast.
And you know what? I want to ask you one quick question on that. First of all, I think Napoli, like, I don't think we're in it. I'd like them to go and do the whole thing. I'm just going to put it out there. They are just wonderful to watch. They are, like, such a tasty team in attack. But I've got to ask you, like, that sending off, like, I feel like it's a controversial one. Is that a red card for you? Because I'm going to put my 2 cents worth in here, and I'm going to say I don't think it was a sending off. He literally, there was no place for his foot to go but on his ankle, Anguissa's ankle. I don't think it was malicious. I don't think it was intentional. I just feel like he literally had no, like, literally that was his next step, and it just so happened to be that Anguissa's ankle. I want to get your thoughts.
No, I don't think it was a yellow card. And I don't think it was such an immediate red card as well, because that bloke just, as soon as the thing happened, red card out. Take a breath, mate. Yeah. Take a breath. Maybe even just let VAR handle it. Give a yellow, and then if it needs upgrading, upgrade it. If it's that obvious, it will get upgraded. Or even just say, I don't know how the protocols work because they overcomplicate everything, but just say, can I have another look at the monitor? And if that isn't the protocol, make it the protocol, because that is really dumb if not. But it was really rushed. And that is probably Frankfurt's best known player anyway.
Yeah,
out of the return leg. So I think he just rushed into that decision. I'd agree. I think it was definitely a yellow, maybe even an orange card if we do that old stupid cliche.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was a red, especially an immediate red like he did.
Yeah, and you know, let's stick to this game real quick. I mean, how stunning was the second goal, Kvaratskhelia? I mean, you know, save the penalty from Kvaratskhelia. You know, Frankfurt looked like they were in it, and then of course they get the first goal, Osmane, and then Kvaratskhelia, that assist for Di Lorenzo. My word, like, they are so good to watch.
I know we like signing left wingers. I mean, screw Jude Bellingham. Let's just get Kvaratskhelia. Just get 120 mil. We'll play a 4-6 formation, just of forwards. Bobby can be the midfielder. And just because that was sensation. Just don't let him take penalties because that was crap. But yeah. The back heel, oh my lord.
Yes.
Filth. And I'm so glad we don't have to play him again. But no, yeah. I'm with you. And Napoli, out of them teams, because we're not going to do it, anyone apart from Real Madrid, Man City, PSG. Yeah.
You know, PSG, why did they play like, I know it was like last week, so we're going back a bit, but we were really excited about this game, weren't we, when we did the preview? And I was so glad that it didn't clash with ours. So it was really nice to be able to watch this game. PSG were dreadful. For me, they played like it was the away leg, and away goals counted for something. The way, I don't know, they were really conservative. They didn't want the ball. They didn't do anything. They just looked completely toothless. I thought their midfield was awful. And all these things came to life once Mbappe came on and, of course, got two offside goals. And obviously, Neymar's going to be out, which is going to be huge for them in terms of the return leg. I know Neymar isn't overly great, but you still want him there because he can still do things. But PSG, for me, looked like PSG of the old in this competition. They just about beat Lille over the weekend.
Yeah, they seem to be really struggling this season. I think they're still top, but it just never seems convincing whenever you hear about it. But not, I think it might be a good thing for Neymar being out, to be honest, because whenever I see, I don't watch Ligue 1, because why would I? But when I see them in the big games, playing Neymar, Mbappe and Messi nowadays, you just can't. Against good teams, you can't. And obviously, Bayern haven't been good this season either. Yeah. But Bayern are still a good team. You just can't play them free. So playing Mbappe and Messi together, and then, I don't know, maybe you can bring in a midfielder and just help people who try. Obviously, Mbappe being back will be massive, because Bayern's defence, even in this game, especially when Mbappe came on, as you said, he could take that on his own, because Upamecano's got a mistake in him. Pavard got sent off. Was it Pavard?
Yes, it was.
Who the hell? I always forget De Ligt's a Bayern now. De Ligt's not really taking that step up. So I think PSG is still in this tie, but
they need to up their game, though, man.
They do. Yeah. I think if Messi and Mbappe click, they could take Bayern to the cleaners, but it's just whether the PSG middling midfield or the defence that is a mix of AOPs and bad defenders. Yeah. It's just a really odd game. But no, I think that'll probably be the one to watch out of the next legs, because it should just be fun. And watching Mbappe is, God, I'm going to sound fangirl. It is a privilege to watch Mbappe. Yeah. It just is, because he's a freak. And it's a bit different watching Mbappe against Clermont Foot or something like that. But we see it in the World Cup. Watching Mbappe on a big stage is something different, because that World Cup final was different. Watching him in the Champions League, I think he was on for like 20 minutes in the first leg, and he lit that game up.
Yeah, he did. Chaos. Honestly, that's when the game came to life from an attacking sense for PSG. Dortmund 1, Chelsea 0. I mean, the pace of Adeyemi, I think, you know, like, oof, the way he just turned Enzo Fernandez and Emre Can heroics, you know, I there was a lot of feistiness in this game. Like, I thought the ref was going to like start dishing out some yellows and reds there, but I mean, Chelsea losing 1-0 there, and you know, Potter's in a bit of trouble as well, so that's gonna be a high pressure kind of game for him as well. I'd like Dortmund to do really well as well, actually.
Yeah,
but then the price of Jude Bellingham goes up, so what do you do? Sorry.
That's the thing. I don't think it matters at this stage. Well, it's either by Jude Bellingham or by actually trying to fix the issue, isn't it?
But then, hang on, we agree that Jude Bellingham would have to be absolutely insane to join us, so do we even care? Yeah.
No. Yeah, we're screwed either way. Let's move on, because I don't want to talk about Liverpool anymore.
Yeah, no, we're not. City, 1-0, Leipzig. First half belonged to them, I thought. They played really well. And Leipzig were really, like, threatening them. And they were really exposing their, you know, their fullbacks. And, you know, because I felt like their fullbacks were really narrow. And they had a few sniffs on goal. The warning shots were there. And then they get the goal. And should we even be surprised? I love the fact that this... I actually thought Leipzig would just roll over. Can't lie. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that didn't happen.
That's the thing. I think Leipzig's always one of them teams that... Maybe not this season, maybe not even last season, but they always like threaten to be one of them cup run teams, and I just don't think it's ever happened. And Man City are just weird this season because I've only watched the highlights. I didn't watch last night because football doesn't exist. The first half they should have been out of sight. And Leipzig came back into it, and Werner seemed to just get into the game. Obviously, got the goal from a set piece with Gvardiol's header. But
and Pep not making any subs as well. Like I don't.
Oh, did he do that? Did he do that again? He's a weirdo.
I'm so glad you said it because I was going to go there. I feel like he tries being so edgy.
I think he mentioned in the press conference maybe after the Forest game that we have the smallest squad in the top six. I think,
shut up, man. Don't even go there.
Maybe give some of your under the table money to buy players, mate. And you sent Cancelo away, etc. So it's your own bloody fault, twat. Hate him. No, but he always seems to do that. He makes a point in a press conference and he does stupid shit. Oh, I've got the smallest squad, won't make subs. It's like, okay, mate, you are a bell end. I don't like Pep either. But no, I think Man City will win the tie because Leipzig, they just aren't those guys. Mm-hmm. But Man City do not look good. And maybe this is the year just by them not looking good. They might get the Champions League. Maybe that's how it works. But no, they don't look a threat. I think Napoli, it's just the fact that Serie A, I have doubts about Napoli, but Napoli look better than them. Real Madrid look better than them.
They look comfortable in the league as well, don't they? So could that be like an added bonus to them in that regard? I'm very, very intrigued. I mean, I would like to see Napoli just go a little bit further and do some things because they are a great team to watch.
Napoli Benfica final. Let's get it.
Let's get it. Yeah, it'll make Marco Lopez happy anyway.
Exactly.
So, yeah, this is what we've got to think about. Anything else that you kind of want to talk about from this round? I mean.
There's always Tottenham to make us look better. That's about it.
Oh, they conceded so early as well, didn't they? And then, like, yeah.
Yeah. That was the one I was watching the highlights as we were coming. I was like, nothing is happening. So I was like, cool. No, but it's a weird one because I think it's not the strongest looking Champions League. Like, you've obviously got the big names there, but maybe Real Madrid aside, none of them are at their strongest. And even Real Madrid, but they just do Champions League things, as we said. So it's a really open competition. I think Real Madrid will be the favourites now, obviously. But I think it'll be a really random later part of the competition.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I said that something weird is going to happen in this Champions League, that we're going to get a weird winner. I'm sure I said that.
I do remember you saying that.
Yeah, something, you know, we're going to have like a Porto vibe or something, you know, like one of those seasons. Bring it on, I say. Who knows, the Reds might do a Deportivo La Coruña of that season and actually get some kind of comeback against this Madrid side. But, Guy, I think we pretty much discussed everything there. I feel like I've got a lot off my chest. I feel grateful that I was able to speak to you. I feel so much better. I'm going to ask you any final thoughts on the Champions League. And if not, where can people find you on social media? And is there anything you'd like to plug?
Nothing more on the Champions League because one more game. Here's a question. Does this pod stop when Liverpool go out?
No, I had a rant with Gags and I was like, if they think they're stopping me from doing this.
Okay.
They
make me enjoy the Champions League more without the stress of watching us. So that'll be fun. We'll become a Napoli podcast. That's what we'll do.
We will. Yeah, that's what we'll do. That's what we'll do.
Absolutely.
We'll just. And I guess, like you said, it'll just be nice to kind of watch just some free flowing football. But really, Reds, do something in Madrid.
Exactly. Do a madness. But plugs wise, am I on anything? I will be on Two Footed on Friday.
Amazing.
And
amazing.
I think that is it from me until I have to cover. I'm covering you. Is it a game after Palace?
It's Bournemouth, isn't it? I think yes. I'm away on the 11th and 12th commitments. Yeah, so yeah, you'll be covering. So yeah, you'll be hearing Guy Drinkle doing the post-match stuff then. Guy, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. It's been lovely speaking with you. I feel infinitely better now.
Good vibes.
Guys, I will be back, obviously, for the post-match show for Crystal Palace. Hopefully things are looking better in the league, because my word, we need top four finish. But thank you so much for listening. Really, really appreciate it. Until next time, take care and wake up, Reds.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows.
Sports Social Podcast Network.